Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch. This is Scorebook Live Today, a podcast about high school sports in the state of Washington. The high school football state quarterfinals are a day away here in the state, and we're going to break down predictions for every classification, every matchup, just like we did last week. But before that, I want to welcome in my co-host today. I'm joined by Todd Millis, who I've summoned out of the depths of preseason basketball coverage to talk a little postseason football. Todd, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's weird that we're going to do this kind of the two of us today. There's no Dan Dickow this week. He's busy in football or in basketball and some of his broadcasting stuff. We're right in the middle of state football playoffs and getting out all our great basketball coverage, at least all our team rankings. So please log on to scorebooklive.com. /Washington and read all the stuff that the two of us have been working on here the last few days.
If you tuned into the BYU Boise State basketball game last night, you would have been blessed with the color commentary of our friend Dan. But yeah, no, you're right. He's, you know, while we've been hard at work preparing for the football season over the summer, covering football, Dan's been putting an immense amount of time into some of this basketball preview, these lists, these stories that are forthcoming. So there's definitely a lot to look out for, and I'm excited to see it all to publication.
Yeah, and let's mention Freddie Recco, the former Central Valley girls coach, won a national championship, a state championship with the Bears. He's working with us on the girls' basketball side. I really enjoy working with Freddie. He's a character. He knows basketball. He has a lot of contacts. So we have two fantastic resources, both in boys and girls' basketball. They both happen to live in Spokane.
And you're going to be seeing a lot from them throughout the season, including next week. We're going to do big girls and boys preview podcasts with the both of them. So that's to look forward to, but for now, we're deep in the high school football season. It's the state quarterfinals. Before we get to that, first a quick news item. We're gonna still hammer down on basketball here, just to announce that Haley Van Lith, Kashmir five-star guard, announces that she has headed to Louisville. So when it's all said and done, Van Lith is going to be one of the most decorated players to come out of high school basketball in Washington. Todd, what does this commitment to this women's college basketball powerhouse by Van Lith tell you?
Well, you knew she was, you know, you looked at her list, you looked at the schools that had come into the Yakima Sun Dome that had never even stepped foot in the great city of Yakima to watch her play in the state championships over the past couple of years. You know, personally, I thought Baylor was going to be the team. Talking to people here in the last 12 to 18 months, but she chose a fantastic school, a lot of tradition, a school that's, man, every year they're contending for regional championships. They seem to be in the Final Four a lot. There were some good schools on the West Coast that she turned down. You look at what Oregon's done, what they've done at point guard. I thought Oregon was a legitimate contender. Stanford, obviously, when you grow up in this part of the country, you know, Stanford is seemingly at the top of everybody's list. But at the end of the day, she chose Louisville. She's going to go far away. You talk to people who followed her career. She's as good a point guard that's ever come out of the state, and maybe even more. Maybe she's the best point guard that the state's ever seen, ever produced. I'm not ready to go that far. I've watched Sheila Lambert play in high school. I've watched a couple other really, really fantastic court leaders play in the state. So, but she certainly has to be mentioned among the best who's ever done it.
And entering her senior season, if you care about high school basketball in this state, you care about watching the future stars of tomorrow, you've got a full season to watch her play. So, yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to it. It's at some point. I've never seen her play, although I've seen the aura of folks at the Yakima Valley Sun Dome gravitate toward the court that she's playing on. It's really quite a spectacle. So, without further ado, now we're going to jump into the bracket breakdown across all classifications. You can find in-depth breakdowns on each game at scorebooklive.com/Washington. We're going to run through them now. Just like last week, Todd, you took a hard look at 4A. We're going to start there. Do you want to jump into it?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get into it. We got a lot of Saturday football games. 21 of the 24 games this week are on Saturday. It's the most ever in the quarterfinal round on a Saturday. So if you're a football fan, your chances are you're probably going to be out in a football stadium somewhere Saturday afternoon or Saturday night watching your favorite team play in the state playoffs.
No question. So let's start here with number 11, Mount Si. They go at number 3, Lake Stevens.
Man, I mean, just it's hard to doubt. It's hard to see what Clay Millen has done in his first year as a starter. We've said this on the podcast the last few weeks. You know, his favorite target, Coley Botten's out for the year, and yet this guy continues to produce a career high school record 500 yards last week against, you know, what many would deem as good a defense as you're going to find in 4A. I know that, and you were at the game. I know Kobe Young was out. I know they've had some injuries. But 500 yards. He's not thrown an interception all season. The guy has two or three guys in his face every week, and he's probably going to see that kind of pressure this weekend with Lake Stevens, although Junior Robinson is battling a knee injury, so that would be a big loss for that Lake Stevens defense if he is out. It's a tall task, but every time we say that, this Mount Si team has answered the call, and I still think Lake Stevens is going to win. I think they're the most complete team in 4A. They have all that experience from being in the state championship last year. I think the score from their game last week was a little surprising to most. They had a dogfight with defending champ Union, but they've gotten that game out of the way. I expect a big Lake Stevens rebound, but I'm not counting out Mount Si. If I were to wake up Sunday morning and see that Mount Si had went to Lake Stevens and won, I'm done doubting these guys. Charlie Canoon and that group has done a fantastic job with largely a new cast of characters reaching the same juncture that they did last year.
No question. And I appreciate you properly putting into context how amazing Millen's season has been, because I've seen them four times this year, written about, covered four of their games. And I'm not sure that I've properly done that. I mean, it's pretty remarkable the season that he's had, and it's not done. So next we go on to number 7, Puyallup. They go at number 2, Camas. I'm going to be at this game. Todd, I want to hear your prediction.
Well, I'm not going to bet against Camas at home. But I think folks down there in the greater Vancouver, Plateau, Camas area, are probably getting used to seeing the Mighty Purple come down there. At least the past couple of years, they had two classic games last year with Union, lost both. And now they get to tackle Camas. Luke Holcomb has steadily gotten better. That run game is good. It's just, I can't bet against Camas. I mean, what have they done to even be put on alert like that? Nothing. I mean, they lost their starting quarterback. They just haven't missed a beat. I mean, John Eagle is one of the best coaches in the state. He's won a state championship at Camas. I think the papermakers are going to take care of business against a Puyallup team that I think showed a lot last week, beating Eastlake in a shootout, having to go down and win late, and then hold off Grady Robison and that group, in the final seconds. So, Puyallup can go down there and give them a good game. It wouldn't surprise me if it's a close game throughout, but I pick Camas to reach the state semifinals.
In what should also be a good game, Bothell at Graham Kapausen. What's your take on this game, Todd?
Well, I think it's the battle of who can stop the other team's running game. Christian Galvin did play a little bit last week when they needed him. He's the ultimate X factor for Bothell. If he's getting healthier, if they can use him a little more on a full-time basis, the fact that he can attack the perimeter of Graham Kapausen, against Graham Kapausen. But if he's still less than 100%, this is a different Bothell team. And it's a Bothell team that's won some pretty big games without him. But don't get me wrong, beating Eastlake, holding off Kentwood. I mean, those are big wins without your best all-around player. But I think this is a different animal. Graham Kapausen, after a slow start, went and took care of business against Gonzaga Prep. They have one of the most devastating power rushing attacks you're going to see in the state. They run power constantly. They have, they have two really good running backs, including Michael Kelly, who's just a load coming through the line. But they're just a complete football team at every level on both sides of the ball. They're back at Arkwright Stadium this weekend. And Eric Curley has not beaten Tom Boehner in the state playoffs. He's 0-2 against them, but I think this is the week that the Eagles get their revenge. I think they beat Bothell in a relatively low-scoring game. Eagles move on to the state semifinals.
Our next game, one that I believe, or I'm not sure if you're going to be at this game, Todd, but I guess you can answer that.
I am going to be at this game, yes.
Number 8, Woodinville. They take on number 1, Kennedy Catholic. Of course, the top-seeded Lancers face a tall task in a Woodinville team that's coming off a blowout of Skyview.
Yeah, I think this is, if there's a more fascinating matchup between one side of the ball against another side of the ball around the state, I'd like to see it because I think this is it. You take that Woodinville pass defense, which is the number one rated pass defense in Kinko, probably the number one rated pass defense in 4A. Let me repeat some numbers to you. They have given up 4 touchdown passes all season. They have 17 interceptions all season. Think about that ratio. 4 touchdown passes, 17 interceptions.
That's amazing.
That secondary eats up opposing passing techs. And they've faced some pretty good quarterbacks here over the last month too. Now I've watched this secondary dominate a really good quarterback in Dylan Morris a few years ago in the state playoffs. Picked him off 3 times. Dylan apparently, eventually got hurt in that game. This is the matchup. I think Wayne Maxwell, if he's in his office, he's kind of rubbing his hands and going, let's bring it on. My biggest question is, I think they're going to do okay against that Kennedy passing attack. Now those receivers at Kennedy probably have a little bit of a size advantage, so I think they're going to get some things there. The biggest question I have for me, even if Woodinville's defense is able to kind of limit Kennedy to 21 points, maybe 28 points in this game, can the Falcons score enough points to keep up? That's the biggest question for me. I have no doubts that this Woodinville defense is gonna show well on Saturday night. The question is, can they score? Joey Johnson's going to have a big running – a big night. Cage Skank, I think, is going to have a couple big plays. This Kennedy defense is pretty aggressive, but they can be had a little bit in the secondary. They showed that early in the year. I'm very, very fascinated by this game. If Kennedy does not play well, if Kennedy continues to make self-inflicted mistakes, including the penalties, this is the type of team you don't want staying close, in the fourth quarter. Wayne Maxwell knows how to win big games. I'm really, really curious to see how Sam Heward handles what might possibly be the best secondary he's seen and will see the rest of his high school career.
No question. And that wraps up our 4A breakdown, the full bracket, and even more breakdown and analysis you can find published now by you, Todd, on scorebooklive.com/Washington. So now let's jump to 3A. Some compelling matchups across 3A this week here in the quarterfinals. We'll start with number 6, Maryville Pilchuck, at number 3, Lincoln. Now, first, I'm going to start off this breakdown by just elaborating on the just finely prepared crow that I ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner over the weekend after Maryville Pilchuck outlasted Prairie at home in overtime. The team that hasn't has historically been a mainstay in the 3A state playoffs. Showed resiliency and won on a game-winning field goal. So that being said, I still think that the Tomahawks are going to fall short against a really talented Lincoln team who, you know, we've both seen this year. You know, Lincoln's played the best of them, and I think they'll have the advantage over MP. So I'm predicting a 31-21 win by Lincoln. Do you think that's too generous, not generous enough?
Well, I'm going out to Lincoln practice today to do something on Jeremiah Noesi. He's a very talented defensive end. He's the co-defensive lineman of the year in that league. He's an inside receiver. He's 6'4", 235, 240. But since Lincoln has gone to this full house backfield here 4 games ago, he's been the blocking back. Now, you imagine that. 6'4", 240-pound guy blocking for 2 running backs in Julian Simon and C.O. Abner, the league MVP, who are well over 200 pounds. Imagine having to try and defend 3 guys like that in a bunch backfield coming at you right up the gut. Since Lincoln has gone to this offense, I think they've kind of set out this sort of intimidation factor around the state. This is a very, very, very difficult offense to face right now, to prepare for, especially in this formation, because they're doing some spread concepts out of it. They're attacking the perimeter, and they have 2 wide receivers that can win one-on-one matchups in a formation like this. They're a very, very scary offense to face right now. And we all know that they can go and move the ball in the spread if they wanted to go, you know, empty or 1 back for, you know, 4 receivers out there for Kalen Filer to kind of attack the perimeter. So right now this Lincoln team can beat you in a number of ways. They're being strategic with what they do. I think they roll big time over Marysville Pilchuck at Lincoln Bowl. I think this is a statement game. If Lincoln wins, they have a possible matchup with Eastside Catholic. I don't think they want to stumble this week. I think they've got their sights set on a state championship, and I don't think there's anything that's going to interrupt that this weekend at Lincoln Bowl.
No, and it's really been a 2-team conversation in 3A all year, and Lincoln has made as strong a case as anyone that conversation should include 3 teams. So look out for that game. Number 5, Kennewick at number 4, Bethel. Kennewick escapes the first round with a thrilling win at home over Yelm in the first round off a blocked PAT. Kennewick's got a 1,000-plus yard rusher in Miles Mayofsky. They have a quarterback who has stepped in late in the season, a skilled position guy who's done a really serviceable job. But this Randy Offalter-led team runs into a really, really tough Bethel, headlined by obviously Will and Peter Latu, a team that, you know, beat Garfield in kind of like a weird game in the first round that you were at, and I'll let you elaborate on that a little bit more. I think that Bethel, the home team here, is going to have the advantage. I have them 31-17 over Kennewick. Todd, where would you assess that pick?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, Kennewick, you look at their schedule, they've largely won. Their entire schedule has been played in the Tri-Cities other than a game in Yakima. This is their first road trip over to the west side. I mean, Bethel won a shutout, a 21-0 shutout over Garfield last week. I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought this was going to be a 40-30 type game. And that Bethel defense, you talk about the offensive skill position players they have. And you mentioned two guys, Kiko Vesperas. They have a really good set of receivers. Puka Sakimi, Parker. I mean, they have such a fantastic collection of receivers. But last weekend, their defense won the football game. Seven or eight sacks, three turnovers. To be able to win a game like that when you're not your best offensively, it showed me something, especially a team that had then bounced out of the first round of the playoffs the past couple of years. So I think Bethel's kind of found its footing. They got past the, sort of the mental block of the first round. They get another home game, like you said, against Kennewick. I think the Braves roll. I think they go to the state semifinals and possibly have a rematch with O'Day.
Speaking of O'Day, here's who we have to round out our 3A bracket predictions. Number 8, Mount Spokane, travels across the state, plays at Memorial Stadium against O'Day. That's on Saturday at 1. O'Day, perhaps the most complete defensive unit in all of 3A. They've got their hands full facing one of the Greater St. Helens League's all-time prolific running backs in Cannon Katzer. The Mount Spokane senior rushed for 307 yards in Mount Spokane's win over Peninsula last week. I was there to see him. He had 38 carries. This is a very one-dimensional Mount Spokane team, but that one dimension operates pretty well. I have O'Day by a few touchdowns here. Todd, do you think the Katzer effect bores tough on the Fighting Irish?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched O'Day a couple times this season. We've watched them together against Eastside Catholic. They're not immune to giving up a big play now and then. I think Cannon Katzer is going to get his. I do, and I know Monty Kohler all weeks. They've got one guy that they're, that each day in practice that defense is, it's probably heard that name, Cannon Katzer. I think Cannon Katzer is good enough to get his. The question is he going to get enough of them? Because I don't know if Mount Spokane can come over here and handle that, that Veer offense that seems to be rolling right now. I think Mount Spokane, like I said, I think Katzer has a few touchdowns. I think he could, if he gets a couple hundred yards against that offense, that defense, it wouldn't surprise me. But at the end of the day, I think O'Day also wins big. Pulls away late. This is a program that's on a mission right now. I think O'Day wins at Memorial Stadium.
That wraps up 3A again. The bracket, breakdown, predictions, analysis.
You don't want to talk about Eastside Catholic?
Did I skip Eastside Catholic?
Come on, man. G. Scott, you don't want G. Scott Jr. listening to our podcast and
you know
coming
what?
Up and saying,
you know
why
what?
Are you ignoring us? Come on.
I did. This is my Eastside Catholic erasure shining through on the Scorebook Live Today podcast. Wow. Good catch. That's number 7, Bellevue. They go at Eastside Catholic, the number 2 seed here on Saturday. That game takes place right after O'Day Mount Spokane. Bellevue was really impressive last week against Lakes, a game that you were at, Todd. The wing T worked really well. This is a Bellevue team that is maybe lacking star power of Bellevue teams in recent history and not so recent history. But they go up against an Eastside Catholic team that's, we'll say it again and again and again, the most talented team in the state, perhaps one of the most talented teams in state history. I think this is an Eastside Catholic team that's playing angry, that's on a mission after O'Day beat him on the Crusaders' home field earlier this season. I'm picking an Eastside Catholic definitive win, 20 points. Eastside Catholic 38, 18 was my exact prediction. Am I crazy, Todd?
No. and talent, you mentioned how talented they are. I'm not disputing that at all. I just wonder, and we're not at practice, we're not in the locker room, we're not in team meetings. We don't know how that loss to O'Day has impacted that team. It seems like a team that's just not been the team that we're used to since they got thumped by O'Day in front of their home crowd up in Sammamish. And I don't know what's going on. They can still move the ball with anybody. You know, DJ Rogers, the injury to DJ Rogers is a big blow. But, you know, when you have two running backs like that, you have an outside threat, like we said, G. Scott. You're gonna score points. You're gonna move the ball, and I don't think there's anything that Bellevue's gonna do that will prevent that. But what's scary about Bellevue and what Lake's found out is that wing T, as we all know, has the ability to shorten a game. So you're not gonna get five or six possessions in this game that you normally would. So there's some pressure on this Eastside Catholic offense to get off to a fast start.
Yeah, and Todd, that's a great point, and that's something that sorry to butt in, but that's what O'Day did effectively against Eastside to beat him. They kept the ball out of the offense's hands.
And this is not a Eastside Catholic defense that has been bulletproof. Sometimes they're able to overwhelm other offenses just with their talent. I mean, and we could go through the whole roster, but I don't think we have time for that. But this is also a defense that's given up its share of big plays, its share of points that it didn't do last year. So if I'm Michael Knipp and I'm that Bellevue offense and it's a little funky because they do some unconventional things out of it. The two running backs there can pass the ball. They go a little they go a little tempo to kind of throw you off. They do some things to just kind of keep you off balance. And they have nothing to lose. Let's face it, Bellevue has nothing to lose in this football game. I would guarantee that Michael Knipp and his staff have a few tricks up their sleeve for this game. They've been waiting a whole year for this rematch. As we all know, this is a very, very testy rivalry. It has been for the better part of a decade. It showed up last year in the state semifinals when Eastside Catholic beat them. I think Eastside Catholic's going to win, but I think this is a game that I think folks should be at if they want to see a little bit of everything.
No question. No, you brought up some really good points, and I'm certainly looking forward to, you know, I'm not going to be in Memorial Stadium, but that's going to be a good place to park your caboose on Saturday for some quarterfinal action. Now headed to the 2A bracket. Number 11, Washougal Panthers are through in that school's first trip to the state playoffs in quite a long time. Well, they get number 3, Linden Lions. Todd, your pick for this game?
Yeah, I picked Linden to win by a couple touchdowns. Washougal with the big win at Clarkston there on the final play. I think people have probably seen the video of that final play at Clarkston last week where they scored and the whistle had blown. It was a really odd way to see a game. But the Panthers didn't stop at the whistle, scored a touchdown, advanced on to play Linden. You know, Dalton Payne, I think, is going to have a big game. He's a 2,000-yard passer. He's got 24 touchdowns on the year. But when it's all said and done, I don't see Linden losing at Civic Stadium this weekend. You know, Stephen DiLorenzo is having a monster year. He had a couple weeks to kind of rest his legs. They held him out the last week. It's a team that, you know, I don't think is going to be, you know, they've been fortunate a little bit with the draw and then Washougal winning last week. So they've had two matchups, I think, that work in their favor. I see them winning by a couple touchdowns and moving on.
Number 7, Prosser gets number 2, Steilacoom. Steilacoom's a program, you know, and trying to make history over there. And certainly talent laden. It's a school you were just out there yesterday. What's your prediction?
Well, I'm not going to bet Steilacoom against Steilacoom. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. It's the only 11-man football game on Friday night. So if folks around the state want to go see football on Friday, go to Mount Tahoma Stadium and watch two teams that really like to throw it around a lot. I want to talk about Caden Rivera. I mean, you and I, at the beginning of the season when Prosser started 0-2, we were just sort of shaking our heads going, what's going on? And Caden Rivera has come in, a sophomore, and done a fantastic job. He's almost 2,300 yards passing, 19 touchdowns. Prosser's 9-1 with him starting in his first year. You know, you can't say enough about what this young man has done coming in, not only stabilizing things and getting this team back on track, but here we are. We're talking about the Mustangs in the state quarterfinals, and there was a few weeks I didn't think we were going to be seeing them get to this point. But I think it ends here at Mount Tahoma Stadium. I just think with Emeka Egbuka and Chance McDonald, and I mean, Steilacoom wants to get to the state semifinals for the first time in school history. This is a big time goal. They've played a tough schedule. They know how to defend a team that likes to throw it because they throw it. I think Steilacoom wins, not by a whole lot, maybe a touchdown or a little bit more than that in a high-scoring affair.
Here's a game that could come down to a touchdown or maybe even less. That's number 6, Lakewood, at number 4, Hawkinson.
Man, I've talked to a few coaches about this because I'm a big Jared Taylor fan. You know, they run the spread at Lakewood. Dan Teeter's done a fantastic job, but at the end of the day, everything that they do, the bells and whistles and dressing of their offense formations, they want to get Jared Taylor basically running inside zone. And he's been fantastic. He's almost 1,300 yards rushing. He's over 1,000 yards passing, 32 total touchdowns. They play in a tough district. They've beaten some good teams up there, including Archbishop Murphy. But at the end of the day, can I pick against the team that's the 2-time defending champs? It seems in weird ways that Hawkinson's sort of teetering. They won a close battle with Ellensburg last week, had to come back in the second half. I just don't think Levi Crum's going to let this team lose on this weekend. I don't know how far past this weekend it's going to go, but I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I'm picking Hawkinson 27-23. Would not surprise me if Lakewood comes up there and wins, which would be an interesting. It would end an interesting run by a team that's done a lot in the last few years. But I think the Hawks get to the semifinals, and we all know who's awaiting them.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you saw what number, you know, Archbishop Murphy beat Hawkinson earlier in the season on the back mostly of the dual threat quarterback and Victor Cabalas. So, you know, maybe this dual threat thing is there's something to it. Speaking of the Wildcats, number 8, Archbishop Murphy at number 1, Tumwater.
Yeah, have we seen this before? We've seen it many, many, many times. These two programs are truly 2A powerhouses. I mean, Tumwater's won at every level, but since Archbishop Murphy has come into football in the late 90s, these two teams seem to always hook up in the state playoffs. They faced 6 times since 2010. They had the low-scoring state semifinal 2 years ago. When Archbishop was the state favorite, this is the one team that has enough size and enough disrupting forces on their defensive line to maybe give Tumwater fits at times. You mentioned Victor Cabalas. I think he's going to have a big game. He's going to have a big impact on this game, but I think Tumwater finds a way. They've been on running clock a lot. So this one's going to go 4 full quarters. I think Tumwater is going to win by a touchdown at Tumwater Stadium. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. That's a team up north that has a lot of pride in the Wildcats. But I think this is the year. I think Tumwater's got – they've got so much of a blend of speed and size, determination and experience. They're running the wing tee fantastic. Dylan Payne's been healthy. They have a quarterback who can pass the ball. I just think there's so many things that have developed in a positive manner for Tumwater. I just don't see them losing in the state quarterfinals, even against a team as good as Archbishop Murphy.
We're going to go speed round for these last 3 classifications. We've got number 6 Deer Park to kick off the 1A playoffs, 1A quarterfinals breakdown. At number 3, Montesano. Montesano coming off a huge win, or a big blowout, I should say, a lopsided win over Meridian. Deer Park edges Zilla in the first round. I still think advantage Monty here by a few touchdowns.
Yeah, I do too. There's nothing to say that otherwise. Royal's been the most dominant team in 1A, but Monty, the way they've rolled through its schedule, not far behind in the points scored, points given up differential.
Certainly. Now, here's one that I think is going to be a little bit closer, and that's number 7, Lyndon Christian, maybe one of the most dangerous sevens in all of the state playoffs, at number 2, LaSalle. Now, LaSalle's still undefeated on the season. LaSalle's coming off a first round win, obviously. You know, Lyndon Christian really took it to Cascade Christian. Lyndon Christian's got depth, got size, the linebacking core. Really impressive team up there. I have Lyndon Christian by 4 points, 35-31.
If I were LaSalle as the 2 seed and having dominated Zilla and rolled through their schedule, and this is the team I get in the quarterfinals, I'd be a little peeved. This is not a number 7 seed. This was a misstep by the seeding committee. This is one of the 3 or 4 best teams in 1A, without a doubt. Ask anybody who scouted them. Ask anybody who's faced them. You alluded to it. 2 quarterbacks, one who can run, one who can pass. Big. They platoon. They have 4 or 5 defensive backs that don't even play on offense. I think Lyndon Christian wins in Yakima. I think it's going to be a great football game. Unfortunately, a really good football team in 1A has to lose this weekend, and I think it's going to be the Lightning.
Connell Eagles coming off the biggest upset of the 1A state playoffs to date, a 17-7 win over a previously undefeated Le Center. Well, Connell gets Mount Baker. Mount Baker is a hard-nosed team that had a great start to the season and has sustained that success throughout. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I predict a Mount Baker 2-point win. How do you view that prediction?
Well, I mean, I didn't think LeCenter was going to lose the first week. Congratulations to the Eagles coming over here and winning and beating a really good LeCenter team with the Lambert duo. I like to gauge games when West meets East or North meets South on the difficulty of the district that these teams come out of. I think it weighs that carries great weight with me. And when you're coming out of a district, when you're playing the likes of Mount Baker, Linden at 2A, and beating a Linden, Meridian, I mean, you're facing those teams week in and week out. And that league over there that Connell plays in is pretty good.
Split with Linden Christian.
Yeah, Linden Christian. I just think Mount Baker's played better teams, better competition. I think they are better. I think they're going to win at home, or actually they're winning on the road. It's one of those rare teams where – rare games where the lower seed inherits the home game. But I think Mount Baker's going to go on the road and win and reach the state semifinals. Ron Lepper and his crew have done a fantastic job.
Last one here, and I'll make it quick. These are 2 undefeated teams, though. It's number 8 seeded OMAC, number 1 seeded Royal. I think this game's chalk. I think Royal under Wiley Allred will not be stopped. Lorenzo Merrick and company were as impressive in week in the first round as we predicted they would be. I don't think that's going to stop. I think Royal rolls. 55-14 is my score prediction.
Wow, that's saying a lot. I don't want to disparage Royal, but they're facing.
Is this disrespect? Is that disrespect?
A team that just beat the defending state champions by double digits. I think that would get anybody's attention. And I get it. This is the team that I think very few people, including us, know anything about. I know they have a lot of experience on offense. They have a very, very good running back. I mean, I think Royal's going to win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means. I think OMAC is for real. They waxed some really good teams on their schedule, and that win against Colville is eye-opening and will be eye-opening for Royal. Royal's going to win at home, but I think OMAC gives them a pretty good game. I think Royal wins by, 10 points maybe?
You heard it here. So let's move on to 2B. Todd, are there 1 or 2 games that stand out to you in the 2B bracket this week?
Yeah, I think look at the sort of the bottom half of that bracket, I think they have two fascinating matchups, and one of them is Adnet Chawila. And this is the one that's been up for debate. Who should have gotten that four seed? I know Adnet should have been in the discussion given what they've done over in the Southwest Washington district. They play in the best district in the state for 2B football. They're playing a team that did get the four seed in the Chawila Cougars. Listen, I'm not telling you, Chawila looks the part. You look at what Caden Krause is as a linebacker and as a speed power running back. He's a wrestler. You know, he's as good an athlete as you're going to see in 2B in any sport. He's a handful. He's going to be a handful for Adnet. I think what's going to decide this game is who tackles better in open space, because both teams are going to try and get their screen game going. You know, Cole Fay for Adnet is a really good threat out on the perimeter too. Great hands, catches the ball. If this is a pick'em game for me, I think there are people that think that Adnet's going to go over there and win. I had Chawila 28-27. That's a pick'em game for me. Would not surprise me either way. These two teams are pretty evenly matched. But the other game I want to highlight involves the number one seed. And if styles make matchups, this one has the makings of a pretty interesting game at Centralia High School on Saturday. And you talk to the loggers. And you talk to that coaching staff down there. Tri-City Prep is not a number nine seed. Tri-City Prep should be way higher than that. And they went and blitzed Asotin last week on Asotin home game. They're going to spread them out, and they're going to throw the ball. And they're going to be on turf. And if that doesn't scare the loggers, I don't know what will. This has been kind of the vulnerability. The perception of this team is the vulnerability is in this secondary. Now, Cade Lawrence at cornerback has had a fantastic year. He's had 9 interceptions. He had 2 picks against Napa Vine in that 1-versus-2 showdown. But this is a team that's also given up some points against passing teams, Rainier being an example. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Tri-City Prep's behind Dante Maiori is going to get their points. I just, at the end of the day, Ani's ability to control time of possession with the triple option, and they haven't, you know, Tri-City Prep has not seen a power running football team like Ani on their schedule. And Ashton Haight, I think, is going to have a monster game. Ani wins 39-29. That's my prediction. But TCP, watch out. This is a team that's has the makings, has the style to go beat Ani this weekend.
There you have it. 1B. We kick off the 1B state tournament this week. They had play-in games last week. 5 bids out of the East, 3 out of the West. The 2 games to me that'll be the most intriguing are number 5, Lyle Wishram, which has one of the 2 best running backs in all of 1B in Brandon Montoya, Eastern Washington commit. He has well over 2,000 yards this season, and he has really yet to be stopped, but they go at Eniat. Eniat's the clear number 3 out of the vaunted 1B Central Washington League, and this is going to kind of be a good test. I don't know. It's will somebody be able to stop Montoya? That remains to be seen. The other game that stands out is number 6, Lummi, at number 3, ACH. This is kind of a regional battle for me. It's which region really kind of reigns supreme. Caleb Reavy, he's a standout across all sports at Lummi. He's their top playmaker. He was so coming into the season, and he had a 4 touchdown performance in their first round game last week. ACH is going to have its hands full. I still pick an ACH win 48-28. It's just comes down to, at the 1B level, there's kind of one team that stands tall above the field. However, that's Odessa. However, this week, there's a couple of pretty compelling games around that. So, well, I think we did it. You think we did it, Todd?
Yeah, I think we, a couple times, we stumbled through it. you know, that's a lot of football to be tracking at a lot of different levels. Yeah, you know, if you don't understand our English, then probably read our good English on, you know, on the scorebook.com slash Washington website, and you can find our game capsules there. It's called the Bracket Breakdown, and we're doing it every week. We'll do it next week for the semifinals as well. So if you don't like our English on the podcast, please visit the website and read up on our game capsules and our predictions there.
Sure. And if you agree, disagree with any of our takes, predictions, feel free to let us know. You can do that on Twitter. I'm at Andy Bueller. Todd's at Many Hats Millis. The outlet is at SB Live WA. Head to scorebooklive.com/Washington for also each individual bracket. From, you know, you can click on the game and get previews with times, dates. You can do a pick 'em, see kind of what fans are thinking for each game. That's always a fun way to engage with these playoffs outside of you know, some of the reported work that we're doing. This week I'm going to be at I'm going to be covering a little soccer. I've been playing some futsal here to prepare, just get my mind ready to jump into the Final Four of the 3A 4A state soccer playoffs at Sparks Stadium. That's going to be on Friday. And Todd, you're going to be at, I mean, I guess if I give away that you're at a football game, there's only one to the process of elimination is quick there. You're going to be at Stellicum.
On Friday, yeah, I'll be there, and I think pretty much every TV station in the greater Seattle, Tacoma, and maybe Tri-City area, maybe a little bit of Yakima will be there as well, and then I'll be doing a doubleheader on Saturday. I'll be at Lincoln Bowl at 1, and then heading up for the nightcap up at Renton Memorial Stadium, Kinko versus North Puget Sound League, Woodinville, Kennedy Catholic, Wayne Maxwell versus Sheldon Cross. It'll be fun. It's going to be, it's one of the matchups I'm most looking forward to, not only, you know, for these playoffs, but this season as well.
No question. Saturday, I'll be venturing down to Southwest Washington to cover Camas Puyallup and Lakewood Hawkins. Hopefully catch the end of Lakewood Hawkins in that game. You know, they're 2-4. So, I'm hoping to be able to catch the end of that 2A game. So, head to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find Scorebook Life today. Rate us, review us, say nice things about or mean things about Todd. Say how much you missed Dan this week, as we did. And also just get excited for the podcast content we've got coming up in the near future with the basketball previews that we'll be rolling out. So without further ado.
Let me say one thing. We have state volleyball in Yakima this weekend. Don't forget, all you volleyball fans in the Sun Dome this weekend, there's some really good matchups in 4A and 3A. Got a team over here that I want to give a shout-out to, Graham Kapausen. I tell you, what a run they've been on, winning the league and district title. Watch out for that team in 4A as they battle some of the traditional powerhouses in 4A. Volleyball, Sun Dome, state championship. It's a busy weekend around the state.
Thanks for tuning in. We will catch you next week.